Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch themselves. I'm Henley, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them, and I tell you about them, so you don't have to watch them, and we are missing our dearest, sweetest Emily this week. Absolutely brokenhearted about it.
Brokenhearted. Miss her so much.
Miss her so goddamn much.
The pain is real. she's in Florida, though. I believe she's on her way to Disney World right now.
She's so having a good time without us, and we're just miserable, crying, weeping,
trying to hold it together. But Sammy, it's so good to see you. I love you so much.
So good to see you, Henley. I love you so much as well.
What's going on? Did anything scary happen to you this week?
You know what? Something scary has been happening to me for a little while now, and I kind of reached a breaking point with it this week, and I'm curious to hear if you have any experience with this thing. That is, my phone autocorrects the craziest shit that I've absolutely never fucking typed in my life.
Yes. Wait, I feel like I have examples, but I need to like look at my messages to see them.
I've started writing them down because I'm just like, what the fuck? Why do you think that I would say that?
Wait, doesn't it auto? Okay, sorry, I don't want to take it away because I remember one that it auto-corrected recently from you that really made me laugh.
It just feels like it's getting worse and worse. Like, I don't remember this ever being a big problem before, but for some reason, lately, it has a mind of its own, and it makes me wonder, do I have a secret second life that I'm not aware of where I'm typing crazy text messages so my phone is learning these behaviors? Okay, one example I have is I wrote sued, S-U-E-D, and it auto-corrected it to the German word for south, which to be fair is also sued, but it's a capital S, U with an umlaut and D.
Wait, what were you trying to say? What is sued?
I think I was talking about the podcast getting sued.
Oh, sued. Oh, I see.
Our podcast has not been sued, yeah, but we are just, talking about some contingency plans and whatnot. Just
what if scenarios. What if?
And it just changed it to sued, which I've never typed. I've never typed it. And so I just... how is it choosing a German word to slot in there?
Can I tell you the one that I remember?
Yes.
Which is, I don't remember the full details, but you wrote slap, and it capitalized slap to capital S.
Because of the Will Smith slap?
Yeah, because of the slap, because of quote unquote the slap, the Will Smith slap.
No, you know what it was? It was Will. I wrote Will. And it capitalized it to Will because I was like, oh, we talked about the Will Smith slap too much. Now my phone
thinks I'm talking about Will Smith. That's what it was. Okay. That is very funny. All right. What else you got on your list?
One that I wrote down was I was writing industry and it corrected it to iDusty.
Sure. Okay.
What? And I wrote no problem and it auto-corrected it to no BB problem. Like, when you say like, hey, BB, but just threw a little BB in the middle of no and problem. Like, what? And then this one's my personal favorite. I typed interested and it auto-corrected it to tete-a-tete. The like French phrase Tita-tita, maybe?
It's almost like it's trying to get you to use a different language. It's like, let's, enough of this English keyboard. Like, I want the phone to be programmed to German.
It makes me feel absolutely insane. Like, okay. Why do you think I want to type this, you crazy phone? I've never said tete-a-tete. I wouldn't even know how to say it in a sentence.
Yeah, if you said that, I would think you're having a stroke. It must be something to do with the new, because we all just had an update on our phone.
Yeah.
Because I just looked on my phone. A recent one that happened is that I wrote gumball, and it auto-corrected it to gum boil. Like, that's not even a thing. Gum boil isn't a thing. That's not a thing.
No BB problem? Like, what? It's not a correct phrase.
I don't know.
My God.
Gum boil.
So, yeah, it's just been making me feel crazy and questioning my understanding of language. And am I crazy? Is my phone crazy?
Well, it's also, we put so much trust in the autocorrect function. I feel like when I'm typing on that keyboard, like, who the fuck knows what I'm actually pressing?
Yes.
But somehow the intelligence of our phones has really reached a point where it just, like, knows what you're going to say. And so it's a little alarming for that function to go away, because it's like, yes. No, I need that.
Yes, it used to be very reliable, and those days seem to be gone for me, at least. I don't know, any listeners out there, if you're struggling with the same thing, if there's a setting that I've fucked with somewhere, please let me know. I don't want to be accidentally typing tete-a-tete anymore. I'm sick of it. But Henley, did anything scary happen to you this week? I can't imagine if anything did.
So the big news here is that last podcast I was on, I was complaining ferociously about the stomach flu that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So the real fucking twist of the knife here, you guys, is that right after truly 48 hours after I've recovered from this stomach flu, Silas's daycare has a COVID outbreak, and he wakes up with a fever. We don't send him to daycare. We get a call from the daycare saying, oh, two kids out of five kids have tested positive for COVID. So we do one of those at-home tests on Silas, which is, like, so tragic.
Oh, gotta stick the little Q-tip up his nose.
Yeah.
Did he hate it?
He was already sick and miserable, so everything was bad. And that was bad too, and it was positive. So then I took a test, positive. At that moment, I wasn't feeling any symptoms. Tim took a test, he was positive. That night, I started to feel sick, and that was a solid 10, 11 days ago now, 11 days ago, and I'm still, like, congested, still, like, I have my hot tea next to me. I had to miss last week's podcast because I, like, truly couldn't talk, and we've just been sick. We've had to keep Silas home from daycare. Tim and I have been working from home while taking care of a baby, and for me, anyway, I've been very, very sick as well again. Yeah. So all of April, I've been fucking sick as a dog.
It was a rough freaking month for you. I hope that things are looking up. You're feeling a little bit better, you said today.
I am feeling better. My voice is back.
Still a little sicky, but a little more energy.
Silas and I were having, like, a full-on dance rave party to Charlie XCX before this.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was getting my energy up. I was feeling that spring weather outside. Windows are open, like, trying to feel the sun on my face, like... Okay, so it's so boring to talk about being sick, and I'm sick of it, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But the one thing I did want to mention, in addition to just complaining all day long about having COVID.
I love to complain. Complaining is healing. Complaining is necessary. I'm always here to listen to you complain. I understand the importance of it. Don't ever apologize.
There's nothing to say about it. But one thing that I did read this week that I really enjoyed was an excerpt from Jessie Klein's new book. Jessie Klein is a comedy writer. She wrote on Amy Schumer's show. She wrote Big Mouth.
I was going to say, I think I read, she's one of the voices in Big Mouth too, right?
She's the voice of Jessie in Big Mouth.
Yep.
And she has a new book coming out that's called I'll Show Myself Out, and it's essays on motherhood. And she has an excerpt in The Cut this week that I read, and it prompted me to buy her first book, which I'm almost done with now that I've been really enjoying. But ooh. I wanted to talk about this excerpt because I was feeling this really hard this week being at home with a baby, 10 months old, trapped in an apartment. And she talks about how she had this realization when her son was 2 years old, when she was, she heard about Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces, which is the classic book where he distills the 17 universally traversed steps of the hero's tale as it's been told forever by cultures around the world. And, you know, the classic hero's journey is, you know,
the little circle. Yes. I can picture the graph of it. But don't ask me any of the steps. Call to action?
Yep, call to action. I don't know any of this. I don't remember, honestly, any of the steps either, except we all know, we're all familiar with it. A man is called to do some challenging, difficult task that's far away. He has to...
Hurdles, obstacles, exactly. Looking deep within.
Exactly. And then finally, he's, you know, heroic at the end. Mm-hmm. So she has this realization while she's in the grocery store line buying her son Nom Noms, which are these like little crackers he's obsessed with. And she's just feeling like bored and miserable and like at her wit's end, basically. And she has this realization where she says, I'm just going to read it. She says, the truth is that motherhood is a hero's journey. For most of us, it's not a journey outward to the most fantastic and farthest flung places, but inward, downward, to the deepest parts of your strength, to the innermost buried core of everything you are made of, but didn't know was there. And what I've learned is that there's a reason motherhood as a story is so infrequently told. It's because for so many people, our safest, sweetest, earliest memories are nestling in our mother's lap. And if you knew that your mother's journey was intrinsically a hero's journey, you'd have to accept that this memory of womb-like safety, this foundation upon which so much of your identity is built, was often just an illusion. And I was like, damn. And she goes in and it's, The rest of the piece is just as cutting as that part. But being a new mom myself, I've been very attracted to a writer's perspectives on what it's like to be a new mom. And it's kind of surprising how little there is out there. And I think she gets to one reason why. It's because no one really wants to talk about it because it's confronting something very vulnerable.
Right. Yeah. Breaking the illusion that we want to keep intact. I remember kind of the first time, not necessarily specific to my mom or motherhood, but the first time I realized that adults didn't have their shit together when I was like, wait, but I thought I reached a point where like life was just, you just knew everything that you had to do and you just did it and everything was, you were in control of everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember slowly that illusion being broken. I was like, oh, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
And it's terrifying, right?
And
as a kid
scary.
To realize that. So yeah. How old do you think you were?
I don't think I was a kid. I think I was probably in my 20s.
Well, I think realistically, we're not kids when we realize that. I mean, if you do realize that when you're a kid, it's because something like pretty traumatizing has happened to you, most likely.
Yeah.
But
right.
I think I'm still dealing with it. I'm still like, oh, but, you know, when I'm in my 40s, I'm sure I'll have a better grasp on what it means to do all of this. And it's like, no, every day you have to wake up and like confront the fact that like you're just the same person you were when you were 17.
It's happening now. This is it.
The cat's out of the bag. Anyway, so I was very moved by that. And Jessie Klein is also just like a very funny, easy person to read. She's like so smart and I really enjoy reading things that make me laugh right now. So yeah. I highly recommend reading her first book and checking the second one out as well.
Okay. I will do that. I'm going to add it to my Goodreads, my favorite app, even though it's owned by Amazon.
Oh, yeah. I always mean to use Goodreads and then I just like can't. I just can't have anything consistent like that in my life. I go on it like once a year and I'm like, oh, right. This is a thing.
My life is built off of those types of things.
I know. And Letterboxd.
Goodreads, Letterboxd. Like my calendar app just filled with every single task I have to do. If I don't have a visual reminder of the things that I'm doing, I just feel completely unanchored in space and time. So
I am not like that. I've never been the type of person who like keeps notes. I never write anything down. It's all a mass in my head of me desperately trying to remember what's supposed to be going on. And I can't be bothered to write any of it down.
That terrifies me. That thought really terrifies me. I'm shaking.
Okay. You know what else terrifies me? Is that I don't even fucking know what the movie is that we're doing this week.
Well, let me tell you, Henley. Get freaking ready. Here it comes.
Oh, no.
It's not too crazy. We are talking about The House of the Devil.
Okay. I've seen this on lots of lists.
Yes.
Know nothing about it.
It came out in 2009. It was written and directed by Ty West. So it's probably been spoken about a lot lately because of X.
Mm-hmm.
And it is starring Jocelyn Donahue, Tom Noonan, Mary Warrenov, AJ Bowen, and Greta Gerwig. And it is streaming on Shudder.com.
Okay. You know what's so funny is that anytime anyone says Greta, I just assume they're going to say Thunberg afterwards.
I would love it if Greta Thunberg was in this movie.
In 2009, she like wasn't even born yet.
Did you see that tweet that said Alexander Skarsgård admits he hit Greta Thunberg with his car? I did not get any additional story or context, but just that headline really made me laugh. She's obviously fine.
You know, the first thought that came into my mind when I read that was like, this is a scene in The Simpsons. Like, it's just in the background for some reason, but that's the type that would happen in a show like that. I want to see Greta Thunberg in a Simpsons episode. I'm sure they've done it.
I feel like everybody's been in them. She might have already been in it.
I guess that's like the dream, is to be a character on The Simpsons. Is that like a life goal?
I'm sure for a lot of people, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You love The Simpsons. I bet it's a life goal of yours. I would love it if you were on The Simpsons.
No, it's not a life goal because I'm so scared of anyone ever knowing who I am. So it can't be a life goal for that reason. But if anyone I knew was ever a character on The Simpsons, I would just die and go to heaven right in that moment.
I bet we know somebody that's been on The Simpsons. I'll do some digging and I'll get back to you.
Okay, great.
Some info about House of the Devil. It has a 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 73% on Metacritic, and a 6.3 on IMDb. This is one that I had read the Wikipedia synopsis of, which is something I don't normally do because I just watch the movies.
Why did you do that?
I think because it had been requested so many times, and I think it was specifically when you were very sensitive to certain things in movies, and I was going to watch it, and I wanted to see before I decided if anything bad happened to a child, and something does, so I skipped it for a while. But I've decided that
my strength has returned, and I'm ready to handle it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as you're recovering from COVID, is the time.
Okay. Well, thank you for the. I'll consider that the warning. Thank you.
To make you feel a little better, though, I don't think it's that bad.
Sure. I mean, I'll never trust you since the taking of Deborah Logan when you said there was no kid stuff whatsoever in that.
Climactic thing is very much a kid thing. Yeah, that's fair. I don't blame you for a second for that. I think that's I deserve that. The budget for this film was a modest $900,000. Mm-hmm. The box office only $101,000, but it was released on VOD a month before its theatrical release, so I'm sure that had something to do with the box office numbers.
This is reminding me, is this part of the whole Ty West is part of the whole like a mumble horror core?
Mumble gore
scene, right?
Yes. So Ty West, I'm not going to remember all of them right now, but it's Tom Rest. Tom Rest?
I don't know.
Ty West, the Duplass brothers.
The guy that did You're Next.
Adam Wingard.
Right.
And Ty West is in You're Next. Mm-hmm. And one of the other guys from You're Next is in this movie, AJ Bowen.
Okay, cool.
So yes, it is part of that. And part of why, that's another part of why it's been probably on our radar for a while, just because I tend to enjoy most of their movies. And I liked this one as well. This one was no different.
Okay.
It was shot on 16mm film using the same styles and techniques as films of the 70s and 80s. So it's very much trying to recreate that vibe, which is not dissimilar to X. Like, he's very much trying to pay tribute to these classic horror films, and he does a really good job. I mean, it looks great. The titular house was infested with ladybugs, some of which can be seen in some of the shots. Have you ever heard of a cuter infestation in your life?
That is adorable. Actually, at Kenyon, where I went to college, they would have like full ladybug infestations in our academic buildings. And they're pretty gross when there are a lot of them.
I guess, you know, I think anything is gross when there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think that's true. Like, even if I was in, this is hard to say, and I don't hold me to it, but even if I was in a swarm of cats, I think I would be like grossed out and freaked out.
I think you would too. I mean, if you ever went into a cat lady's abode, I'm sure it wouldn't feel good in there, you know?
Yeah. And I think just inherently you imagine a swarm of cats being feral cats, which are just a little scarier.
It's terrifying. It's a little terrifying.
And that's all I've got as far as trivia goes. So shall we watch this trailer?
Let's do it.
I can tell you like it.
I love it. It's perfect. About the deposit?
I'll agree to waive all the deposit stuff. You just give me the first month's down, we'll call it a day, all right? It's hard coming up with all that money, isn't it?
It's gonna work out.
You're not the one with $84 in a bank account and a check to write on Monday.
You know what you should do.
Hi. I'm calling in regards to the babysitter flyer posted outside my dorm.
Tonight's big eclipse is now well underway.
I feel a little weird just dropping you out here in the middle of wherever we are.
You have to forgive me, Samantha, because I've not been completely honest.
We're from the desert, you know.
You see, we actually don't have a child.
They lied to you.
I know.
They're liars.
Okay, I know you're right. But it's $400. This equals first month's rent and then some, and all I have to do is sit inside and watch TV. This is huge. This one night changes everything for me.
Here we go.
Are you not the babysitter?
Oh my God. Okay, so first of all, it does not look like it was filmed in 2009. So they did a great job with that.
Yeah, it looks authentically of the 80s. It's set in 83, and I think Ty West did a really great job making it feel that way, like by camera techniques and the 16mm. It looks great.
And even the act, there's something about the acting in the 80s, mm-hmm. just thinking about Halloween and how Jamie Lee Curtis, the way that they talk, the way the teenagers talk and the way that they sound, it's almost like there's like a different accent or something that was used.
Yes, I know what you mean.
These girls are totally, I mean, Greta Gerwig, and I can't help but like think about her, but even she's doing it a little bit, but the main... Mm-hmm. Who's that actress? I can't remember.
Jocelyn Donahue is her name.
Okay. She feels like she's from the 80s.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I was surprised by how much it really does feel like it's from another time.
Ooh, baby. Okay, I'm scared.
Let's freaking get into it.
Sammy, finding a good t-shirt is so hard.
It really is, Henley. And t-shirts are such closet staples, you know? Like, you'd think we'd have it figured out by now, but there's a lot of bad t-shirts out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is why I was so happy to find these new Skims shirts. You know, obviously we're big Skims fans here on the podcast, but I've thought of them more as bras, underwear, shapewear, the most comfortable robe you've ever worn in your life.
It is so comfortable. I have it too. It skims the floor. Even though I'm a very tall person, it still drags on the stairs as
I
walk up them.
That's part of what I like about it. It feels, yeah, like a gown. Mm-hmm. but I'm just absolutely delighted that they have also perfect t-shirts.
I love the Skims t-shirts. I'm so happy. I have them in my closet now. I have two different kinds. I have the boyfriend tee, which is more loose and comfortable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I also have the cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt. And that one is way more form-fitting and kind of like sucks you in kind of a sexy yet comfortable way. And I really like the spectrum. I really like that you can go more comfy, more form-fitted. Either is chef's kiss perfection.
I've got kind of the same deal going on. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt and the fits everybody t-shirt. And I love the boyfriend shirt so much that I actually bought it in two new colors yesterday. When you find a shirt, you're like, I did buy it a whole bunch of them. Like, it's just
all
like
colors. This and all
is,
colors.
This is a rare thing, and I'm not going to let this opportunity go to waste. I'm going to fill my closet with a shirt that I know I like. Why the hell wouldn't I?
Wow.
You can shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X.
If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
Love you, Skims.
Love you, Skims.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, so we open on some text that tells us, during the 1980s, over 70% of American adults believed in the existence of abusive satanic cults. Another 30% rationalized the lack of evidence due to government cover-ups. The following is based on true, unexplained events. Which, it's not. I don't think it is.
Okay, all right, sure.
I always think it's kind of funny when movies do that and they're just like, who fucking cares? Let's just say it is.
You're like, no one's going to get us in trouble. We're not going to get in trouble.
Okay. Immediately, I'm also thinking about Satanism and the Church of Saint Satan and what we know today. Is they're actually quite progressive. And like most recently, they've been fighting the abortion laws in Texas by claiming religious freedom, that because one of their main tenets is bodily autonomy. And so I just love them using religion against itself. It's really excellent stuff. So
Church of Satan, check it out.
Church of Satan, check it out. hail Satan.
Hail
I know we're more a Hakate crew, but I like what the Church of Satan does as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then we go to we meet our protagonist, Samantha. Beautiful name. Gorgeous
beautiful
name. Absolutely rolls off the tongue. And you're just like, oh, should I name my child Samantha? Similar to Noah from Fresh. I feel like you might want to consider it.
Maybe Sammy for short. Sammy for short.
It could also be Sam.
So many options.
My mom calls me Manth.
Does she really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's three options there.
Oh my gosh.
And she is looking at a place that's up for rent and she really likes it. The landlady is talking to her and saying another girl checked it out, but I felt like she seemed a little unreliable. You remind me of my daughter. I'd love to rent you the place. And this is where it looked like Rosemary's Baby. I felt like it was the house from Rosemary's Baby. It must not be, but it really looked like it. Anyway, so this landlady agrees to rent her the place, but it is $300 a month with a $300 deposit. And you can see Samantha looking nervous about this, like she might not have enough money. And the landlady agrees to waive the deposit and says, if you just give me first month's rent, we can call it even. I'll have it ready by the end of the week for you. Samantha's very excited about this, but also now needs to figure out how to scrape this money together. She is a college sophomore and heads back to her dorm room, and her roommate has hung a sock on the doorknob, which we all know what that means. Did you ever have a roommate do that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I did either.
No, because also in college, my roommates, before like I roomed with my friends, I feel like it was like, there was like no respect freshman year between anyone. If someone like brought someone back to like hook up with them, like they would just do it and not tell you. And you would be like, oh, well, motherfucker. Like,
yeah. Either just walk in or, yeah, exactly. I had a roommate have sex just in the bed across from me, thinking I was asleep. And I was like, I guess I just pretend to be asleep.
Yeah, there's no other option.
Oh, it's so besides awkward.
Getting up and interrupting,
which is mortifying for everybody involved.
College is a wild time, I gotta say.
It really is awful. And seeing a dorm room and this having to not go back to your room because your roommate's in there having sex, it did not make me nostalgic. Let me tell you that. I do not miss dorm rooms.
No, dorm rooms are terrible. Dorm rooms are hell.
Absolute hell. Hell on earth. Mm-hmm. So she heads back outside into the campus area, biding her time while her roommate finishes having sex. And she comes across a paper, like a posting for a babysitting job that you can rip off a number for. And she takes a number and heads to a payphone and calls, leaves a voicemail saying, my name's Samantha. I'm interested in this babysitting job. Give me a call back. Immediately the phone ring after she hangs up, he calls back and says, I can come to your campus. I'll meet you out front of the administration building or something. She says, great, I'll see you then. Or no, she says, great. And then the line goes dead and she says, do you mean right now? And it's not clear and he's gone. And so she just goes and waits there. And he never shows up. And it's clear that she waits basically all day because she has no idea.
Wow. She's committed to this babysitting job.
She really needs that money.
Yeah.
So he never comes and she gets dinner with her best friend, Megan, who is Greta Gerwig. And Greta Gerwig, Megan, says how the pizza is gross. And they're talking about, I wish everyone would shut up about this eclipse tonight, which is just a really weird thing to say.
Like people are talking about it that much and you're upset about it?
I'm so sick of hearing about the eclipse. And just so everybody knows, there was an eclipse yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know.
On Saturday. So yesterday when we were recording, it will be not yesterday when this comes out, but on this past Saturday, there was a solar eclipse, not visible in North America.
Oh, I also just want to say there's a fake video on the interwebs. Lol. Like me saying there's a fake video on the internet. Like, duh. There's so many fake videos on the internet.
No.
that the when I watched it first, it fooled me, even though the second time I watched it, I was like, obviously this is fake. But it got me the first time, which is just,
is it Tom Cruise's TikTok?
I mean, that got me and it still gets me. I like can't see through the cracks.
Deep fakes are terrifying.
Deep fakes are too real. But no, it's like of it's supposedly someone in the North Pole, I guess, watching the moon like rise and set, and it like blocks out the sun for a second, and it makes it look like the moon is extremely close to the Earth.
Ooh.
And it's honestly like beautiful. And even after I realized it was fake, I still watched it like 15 times in a row.
Yeah.
Because it's really crazy to imagine what it would be like if we actually were this close to the moon and could see it this perfectly. And it was beautiful. It's like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
I would have fallen for it too. Space is crazy, man. Who fucking yeah. knows what's happening? And also, have you seen an excellent film called Moonfall?
No. Wait, what is Moonfall? I feel like I keep hearing about that. What
it's
is
not
that?
Excellent. It's actually very bad. It's Halle Berry and Patrick Wilson, and the moon is falling to Earth because it's hollow and there's aliens inside.
Wait, what? This is an old film.
No, it's recent.
What? There's a lot of moon content right now. There's like that Disney Plus show that's moon something.
Moon Knight. I'm watching that as well. I guess I'm a sucker for moon content.
And also, there's like a Cole Sprouse movie. I think it's Cole Sprouse. Or maybe it's his brother.
Oh, the HBO one?
That's also moon something.
Yeah.
That's weird. They all came out at the same time. Okay. Anyway, that was a very important tangent we just took.
Thank you for coming with us on that, listeners. So the town, I guess, won't shut up about this eclipse. And Megan and Samantha are very annoyed about hearing about it. And Samantha's talking about how she is stressed about coming up with the money for this apartment. She's excited that she got it, but she only has $85. She needs to pay $300. And Megan is mad at the guy, that the babysitting job guy, for standing her up. She says, that's so rude. I can't believe he showed you up like that. Showed you up. That's not the right phrase for that.
Stood you up.
I showed you up. So like a dance off and step up is where you show people
show him up. Sure. Show him up.
And she says you should tear down the rest of the posters to mess with him so that nobody can be his babysitter. And Samantha says, no, I'm not going to do that. And this is a lunar eclipse, by the way, not a solar eclipse. And sorry, okay. Just one more bit of moon talk.
Moon content
is that there is an upcoming lunar eclipse, a blood moon, on Sunday, May 15th. And it is visible, I think, from everywhere in North America and South America and parts of Europe. So check it out if you're into that. And We can be the people who won't shut up about the eclipse.
Yeah, we'll keep reminding you about the blood moon. Mm-hmm.
I think I'll try to watch it. I think that sounds fun. But Samantha's very stressed after this. She goes back to her dorm room and cries. And she gets back into her room and her roommate tells her, a guy called for you. He left a phone number. And Samantha's very excited, calls him back. This is the babysitting gig guy. And he says, I'm so sorry. I didn't know how to get in touch with you. My schedule got really crazy. I found someone that didn't work out and now I'm desperate. I need somebody for tonight. I can pay you double. Please, can you help me out? And She agrees because she needs that money.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have a car. So Megan gives her a ride to this house, which is in the middle of nowhere, of course.
Of course. The house. This is the house of the devil.
This is the house of the devil. You think there's a house of the devil's going to be in a crowded suburb? No.
No, it's remote. It's far away.
It's remote. As they're driving there, Megan is still very angry at the guy. She seems too mad. She's very angry that he stood her up earlier. She says, I don't know why you're helping this guy out. And she admits that she has taken down all the signs. She shows her in the back seat. I did it because I'm so pissed at this guy. And it's like, all right, Megan,
like,
why?
Like, you're taking this so personally. Yeah. It's not your problem.
Yeah. But the drive is feeling very ominous. They pull up to, it's an old Victorian looking house. They walk up to the front door. Megan says, I'll come in with you at first to make sure it's not, you know, totally creepy and weird. And of course it is. The guy opens the door. It's an older man. This is Tom Noonan. And one of the first things he says is, Such beautiful girls.
Okay.
Run away. Which is immediately get out of there.
Run away.
And they do look uncomfortable, but they go in and sit down in the living room with him. And he asks to speak to Samantha in private. Megan looks suspicious of this, but Samantha says, you know, it's okay. And goes into the kitchen to talk to him. And he says, I'm sorry, but I can't pay both of you. Like, the job is just, it's just, I can only pay one person. And she's like, oh, no, that's fine. She's just here. She's my ride. She won't stay here the whole time. You don't have to pay her. Don't worry. And he's being real weird. His vibe is he's in like a tuxedo and is just not being forthcoming about things, kind of mumbling and just giving a strange vibe, and says, he apologized. He says, I'm so sorry. I haven't been totally honest with you. This job isn't for babysitting a child. We don't have a child, my wife and I.
It's kind of a huge thing not to be honest about.
Says, we do have a child, but he is an adult now. But the job is for my wife's mother. She is old and she's fine. She's able-bodied. My wife gets very nervous and protective and doesn't like leaving her. And so it's just more for my wife's peace of mind that someone is here in case of emergency. And okay. I knew that if I put up an ad for elderly care, I wouldn't get any responses, which I don't know if that's true, but I guess babysitting is more in people's skill set at a college campus. That's fair. And he says, how much will it take? I'll give you an extra 100. And so that's 200 now, because he was doubling her pay before. So it's now $200 that he's offering her. And she's quiet and contemplating. And he says, fine, 300, puts another 100 on the table. And she says, 400. And
damn,
he agrees and gives her $400 bills for 4 hours in the 80s.
This is this is some red flags.
This is a lot of money.
No thanks.
And something might be up.
Don't trust him.
And he leaves her the number of a pizza place and an extra $10 or something for pizza. And Megan is, again, mad and upset that he lied about something when Samantha explains that to her.
Megan is picking up on the right vibes.
Yeah.
She's like really taking things seriously in a way that honestly more people in horror movies should.
Yes. And it's funny because at first it seems very unwarranted, but then as it gets further, you're like, well, she's right.
She's fucking right.
She's definitely right. But Samantha explains, you know, I really, really need this money. This is going to cover my first month's rent and more. And I'm going to do this. And Megan says, okay, and agrees that she'll be back at 12:30 to come pick her up. She says, call me if you need anything. I'll be at home. And she leaves. And then back inside, the wife comes down. Their names are Mr. and Mrs. Ullman. So Mrs. Ullman comes down and we meet her. And she looks to me like how I imagine Maris Crane to look, which I don't remember if you watched Frasier, but you don't ever actually see Maris. It's not Niles's wife / ex-wife. And she's just described as always wearing, it's like a petite woman wearing big fur coats all the time.
Maris. Yes.
I was going to be Maris for Halloween once, which is just very funny to be a character that nobody has ever seen on screen.
I think that's a great Halloween costume. I love it. I also picture Maris having blonde hair. Does this woman have blonde hair?
No, she has dark hair.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I've been Niles for Halloween. So.
Oh, you have. You have.
Only makes sense to be Maris.
Yes.
So Mrs. Ullman sits down on the couch next to Samantha introduces herself, says, you know, we're really appreciative that you're doing this. My mother just, I feel so much better knowing that there's someone in the house. And then she looks at Samantha, kind of sizes her up a bit and says, the boys must go crazy for you. So again, a lot of comments that I don't love to hear.
On her personal appearance.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Have we seen the mother?
No.
The elderly person?
No.
Okay.
And so they're all dressed up and ready to hit the town, whatever their plans for the nights are, him in his tuxedo, her in her big fur coat. They head out and say, we'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. And I just like that phrase. Need to say it more. I used to say it.
What was that weird phrase you were saying for a while?
Wet my whistle.
Wet my whistle. Wet my whistle.
I feel like wet my whistle and two shakes of a lamb's tail are in like the same category phrases.
Say just, I need to go wet my whistle. I'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. It's as easy as that. I just need to have a little tete-a-tete with my...
With my gum boil,
and I'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. So then we see Megan driving home on this dark, empty road through the woods, and she stops to light a cigarette and uses that little push lighter thing. What is that called in old cars?
I think it's just like your cigarette lighter. I think it's literally just a cigarette lighter.
Where you just push it in and it heats up, and she stops and does that and rolls down her window to get ready to blow smoke out of it. And a man's hand reaches in and lights her cigarette for her. And she is incredibly startled by this, as you would be, because she is in the middle of nowhere. But he's, I don't know, flirting with her a bit and is like, looks like you could use a light. And she's like, where did you come from? And looks around a bit. And he says, are you the babysitter? And she says, no, my friend was dropping her off. And he pulls out a gun and shoots her in the head and kills her.
Oh my God. That's it? I thought Greta Gerwig was going to be in more of the movie.
Nope.
I'm shocked.
Nope. Just a couple scenes.
Oh my God.
So now we go back to Samantha alone in this big house. And this is all very atmospheric, a lot of slow shots. We're like 40 minutes into the movie and not much, like the shot in the head is the only scary thing that has happened, but it has a lot of tension building and dread building. So I wrote down there's a shot of a tap dripping and it just stays on this tap dripping for a while. And it reminded me of, there's a scene in The Lodge where they put Alka-Seltzer in water, and some of these insert shots of very innocuous things just really can be unsettling in the right context. So this dripping tap is very creepy. Alka-Seltzer in water can be very creepy. You wouldn't think it, but it is. And she's walking around exploring the rooms a bit and eventually calls Megan to see if she's gotten home yet. And it goes to voicemail and she calls again. Still goes to voicemail. She leaves a message. Megan, are you not home yet? Give me a call back when you get home. And she relaxes a bit. She calls and orders a pizza. The pizza delivery guy is a little off as well, or the guy on the phone is a little off and is like, oh, what can I get for you? He's just a little weird with her.
So this is the pizza number that was given to her by the Ullmans, is their name?
Ullmans, yep.
It's like almost like so close to being Omen.
I know.
It's so close.
And another movie that I'm sure Ty West drew some influences from. So she sits down and turns on the news, and these news reporters are just jabbering on about this lunar eclipse again.
Oh God, they can't shut up about it.
Just everywhere you look, lunar eclipse this, lunar eclipse that. And they say the moon is now almost half under shadow. The peak will be at midnight, where the eclipse reaches its peak. and she turns it off and is again looking through rooms in the house, kind of turning lights on in dark rooms. It feels spooky. Big houses are scary.
They're very scary. You don't know what's in there. You just don't know.
Yeah. So I think once she kind of checks out all the rooms, there's one room she doesn't look into because I think she thinks it's the grandma's room. And, but so once she gets a better sense of the place, does a little check everywhere, she relaxes more and she puts on her Walkman and puts on a song and starts really dancing through the house. And one of the trivia things I saw was that Jocelyn Donahue choreographed her own dance here. And it's very much just the kind of dancing you would do if you're just in your house walking down a hall. I'm like, yeah, no shit, she choreographed it. Like, it's not like that kind of dance.
She didn't like plan out the moves in advance. Like saying choreographed implies that she like learned a whole dance. Yeah. She's probably just doing it on instinct.
Yeah. And I mean, it is kind of long. And so maybe she does have to, maybe it does have to be choreographed in terms of like editing
or like continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe. It is, but it's just funny because it's not, it's, you know, not a,
she's just bopping around.
Yeah. Yep. A little twists, a little hands in the air sometimes, but yeah, it's anybody can dance like this.
Sure.
And as she's dancing on the second floor of the house, she knocks over a vase and is annoyed at herself. I'm thinking, how expensive is this vase going to be? Is this going to undo this $400? I have no idea how much a vase costs. And I guess it really depends on the vase. I'm sure there's a wide range of costs.
Massive range.
But she goes and gets a dustpan and broom and sweeps up the vase, and something catches her eye in one of the storage closets, and it's a big trash bag filled with shit. And not shit.
Like actual shit?
Sorry.
That would catch my eye too.
Stuff. Filled with stuff. It's a big stuffed full trash bag. And she opens it up suspiciously and finds a photograph of a different family with the car that the Ullmans just drove away in.
Oh, no.
And clothing. And
like personal belongings.
Personal belongings. And she gets very freaked out. And I got to scene really confused me because I couldn't tell that it was a different family. I thought it was maybe this family, but younger. But I've confirmed that it is a different family via the Wikipedia. And that is what happened. I thought it was slightly unclear.
Are there like kids in the photo?
It's a husband and wife and son. But they said that they had a kid that is grown up now. And so I thought maybe this is just an older photo of them.
Yeah, that would confuse me too.
But it's not. And she seems to understand immediately that something is up. She starts getting nervous. She looks outside and sees that there is a van parked outside. She's getting freaked out. She grabs a knife from the kitchen.
Okay. Well, things are escalating quickly.
Yeah. And now this is now like an hour into the movie. So it's paced in such a way that it's a lot of buildup. And then the last half hour gets crazier. But yeah, the first hour is all just atmosphere, tension, one moment of someone being shot in the head, but mostly just taps dripping. So she grabs a knife. She's on edge. She hears a bump in the house coming somewhere from upstairs and some footsteps. She thinks this is probably the grandma waking up. She doesn't know if she should check on her, if she should go in the room. And we see someone's footsteps coming from the van toward the house. And she goes upstairs to look at the source of this sound. And she pinpoints something coming from behind a door, and she knocks on it and says, "Ma'am, are you okay? Can I help you with anything?" But she doesn't open it. And there's no response, and it gets quiet again. And so she turns around and walks away, and the camera pans and we see behind the door that it is the family of three from the photo murdered, and the son, probably about 8 years old, is in the middle of the floor on top of a pentagram. So clearly some sort of satanic ritual has happened where this little boy was at the center of.
Oh my God. He's dead now.
He's dead now.
Okay.
So yeah, that was the thing that I read before that I was like, she's probably not going to hear that, but that's it. And we don't see that little boy again. So it's done.
Okay. That's, you know what? That's fine. It's fine. I don't need, that honestly bothers me less.
We didn't see the boy suffer.
Great.
And then there's a knock at the door. She's startled, but it's the pizza arriving. And she opens the door really quick and is like, thank you. Throws the money at him. Keep the change. Good night. And slams it in his face and locks it immediately, which I think is pretty smart.
Yeah.
And he says through the door, okay, have a nice night, ma'am. She says, you too. And we see that it is the same man that shot Megan in the head. And he just starts circling the house slowly. He is not leaving.
Oh no. Does she notice that he's still there?
No.
Okay.
And she decides to call the number that Mr. Ullman, because he had left a phone number for them as well. Like, in case of emergency, here's a number you can reach us at. And she calls that, and it just does the beer, beer, beer. We're sorry. This number is not in service or whatever. And she dials, she's getting more and more freaked out. She dials 911, but immediately hangs up and says, like, snap out of it, get a grip. That's something she says to herself a lot. Get a grip. Which, I mean, who's to say if we should be getting a grip in this moment?
No. I mean, all this has taught me is that I should never get a grip and
always call 911. And the phone rings immediately back because 911 calls you back. And Samantha explains, I'm sorry, it was an accident. I didn't mean to call. It's fine. I don't have anything to report.
Samantha.
And fun little trivia, 911 operator played by Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Did you just call her Lena Dunham?
Lena Dunham. Lena Dunham. You know, I'm not great with names. Pronunciation is not my strong suit.
That would throw me off. Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
Bullock.
That would throw me off hearing Lena Dunham's disembodied voice float out of the screen.
I didn't recognize it, but
okay.
I didn't watch Girls, so I feel like I'd have less familiarity with her than some.
I want to rewatch Girls, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm down to rewatch it.
Maybe I'll check it out for a first time.
I found it actually really good.
People loved it. So Samantha sets the pizza out and uses her huge knife that she's been brandishing as a weapon to cut the pizza, which is, you know, pizza, you can usually pretty much just pull it apart. It's very funny. Like, it's clearly pre-sliced and she starts cutting it with this big, I don't know why, it really just made me laugh. I was like, you don't need to cut it. You just pull
it. Like, stop it. Stop doing that.
It's just pizza. You kind of just pull it.
Like, do you not know how to eat pizza? It's your first time getting pizza.
Just use your hands. And she sits down and turns on the TV and starts eating her pizza. Night of the Living Dead is what she is watching. And we see that it's not relaxing her in the way that she was hoping a TV would. So she turns it off. And apparently, I thought this was interesting, Night of the Living Dead is in the public domain. So you don't have to license it.
Oh, okay.
Fascinating. I didn't even know that any movies were in public domain.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, what other movies are in the public domain?
I know certain songs are, like a Happy Birthday, or is Happy Birthday public domain?
No, I think Happy Birthday isn't.
I remember it might not be, which is crazy.
That's why you never hear, but do you hear people singing it?
Yeah,
I guess you hear people singing
it. Maybe it is.
You do. Okay, well, we're just going to circle back to our disclaimer that we don't know anything. In fact, we're not our strong suit. So sorry, everyone.
But yeah, Night of the Living Dead, public domain. Interesting.
Okay.
So then she is eating the pizza, but pulling a face like it tastes gross and throws it away. And then she hears another sound coming from upstairs. And again, starts exploring, trying to find the source of this sound. And she goes into one of the bathrooms of the house and pulls back. It's like a tense moment of, is something behind this shower curtain? And she pulls it back and she screams. But we see in the tub is just a bunch of cut off hair. Like, it's a lot of hair in the tub. And you know me, I really hate hair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gross. It's so gross.
So to me, that's worse than there being a murderer back there.
That would be really freaky to just find a bunch of hair in a bathtub. Ew, no thanks.
Gross. But then she finds this third floor of the house. It's not quite an attic because there's a regular staircase to it. But I guess maybe it is an attic. I don't know. It looks like the opposite of a basement.
Sounds like an attic to me.
I don't know why. It seems different than most attics because it's not like the stairs that you pull down from the ceiling. Like, it's just another staircase as if it's another level. But she sees or hears some footsteps behind this door in this top floor. And there's a light bulb with a pull string at the top of the stairs. And she slowly, slowly reaches to turn on this light. And as she turns it on, something short circuits and all of the lights in the house go off.
Scary.
And it goes to kind of night vision-y. And we see her looking really scared, but then also looking like something is coming over her. And she starts looking woozy and dizzy and falling and tripping backwards. We're seeing a shadow of somebody walking behind the door that she was just walking towards. And then it opens and we see a hand curling around the door to pull it open. She's very scared by this, but stumbles out and passes out. Cut to black.
Okay.
So I guess the pizza was drugged.
Yep, that sounds like what's happened.
And that's why it tastes gross. But it's interesting because in the earlier scene, Megan also said the pizza tasted gross, and that was just at a regular pizza shop.
They're trying to throw you off. They're trying to make you think these girls hate pizza.
I guess
they've never even eaten it before. They don't even know how to cut it.
I guess it is that, though, because then Samantha suspects the pizza less because she's like, oh, the pizza tastes gross today. That's something that I know to be true from my earlier interaction.
Just all pizza because of the eclipse. The eclipse yeah. is fucking with our pizza.
Yeah.
That's so weird. What a weird, like,
I know it is a little strange. But we see now the editing here starts doing these quick flashes of a candle being lit and the moon. The lunar eclipse is now at its peak and the moon looks fully red. And it's this kind of stylized editing choice that Ty West also did something interesting in X. And it's just not often that you see someone making some creative, inventive editing choices, and I just kind of appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, editing is the invisible art, and you don't notice it. So it's kind of nice when someone's like, hey, there's an editor involved here. Remember?
Editors matter. Editors make the whole thing work.
They do.
Editors are doing God's work.
And I believe Ty West is the editor on this as well. And then we come back up and see that Samantha is tied up on top of a pentagram, similar to the boy. In fact, exactly like the boy. And she has been changed into like a white robe thing, which you hate the implication of you're in a different outfit now. Yuck.
Oh, gross.
In walks the Ullmans and the man that we saw kill Megan and deliver the pizza. That's their son. His name is Victor.
Oh.
Yep.
I should have put that together. I should have put two and two together. I didn't.
And they are all in black cloaks, obviously performing this ritual again. And anytime I see people in these types of black cloaks, all I can imagine is the end of Hot Fuzz and the whole town just being like, it's for the greater good, the greater good. Cloaks aren't so super scary to me.
No, not really. They're too outrageous.
Yeah. So they start, they're doing this ritual, and we, for the first time, see Grandma, and she is disfigured looking. To me, she looked like one of the guys from Pan's Labyrinth, the like goat, goat head one.
Yikes.
Yeah, she's freaky looking. And
ooh.
Samantha's screaming, trying to get free, trying to break her like hands out of the ties. Her wrists and ankles are tied down. And so she's trying to wiggle her way out of those. But the grandma comes up to her and pulls the robe dress thing like up, pulls her dress up so that she can see her stomach.
Oh,
and
no.
She has a like goat skull filled with some blood.
Oh my God.
And she's dipping her finger in the blood and she draws another pentagram on Samantha's stomach. And then she slices her wrist and pours some of her own blood into this goat skull thing.
Okay.
And then holds Samantha's head still and pours all of the blood into her mouth. Samantha,
oh my God,
it's so gross. And Samantha's screaming, ew, but then like choking, ew, on the blood.
Ew. And the grandmother looks like a goat.
She's goat like, yes.
I need to see a picture of this. Okay, I need
we'll
to know.
Find,
what
yeah, we'll find a picture. Goat,
this goat woman is looking like horrifying.
So gross. And at this moment, Samantha's able to get one of her hands loose and she just slaps this grandma really hard and grandma screams and falls back. And Samantha grabs the little knife that the grandma had just used to slice her wrist with and stands up. She like unties all of the ties, gets up, takes that little knife, stabs Mr. Ullman in the stomach with it, and then runs out of the room. She's able to get past everybody and they all yell like, wow, get her, grab her. So Victor is the first one in pursuit of her, chasing her down the halls. He catches up to her in the staircase and grabs her, and she turns around and takes her thumb and jabs it real
beautiful, beautifully timed,
real far into his eye socket.
Oh,
and his eye like starts pouring blood. It's gross. And that knocks him down for a minute. She's able to get back away from him, runs all the way down the stairs to now the first floor of the house and runs into Megan's body, is just splayed out on the kitchen floor, like blood everywhere, which I'm not sure why they brought her into the house. Maybe it's part of the ritual. I don't know. But
must be.
We got to look at her exploded head. Obviously,
so she knows her friend's dead.
Yeah, Samantha's terrified by this, but also slips in the blood and falls, and her white nightgown thing. It's a nasty nightgown is what it is, to be completely frank with you.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like
it. And it's getting completely soaked with blood. So now it's turning from white to red. And in the kitchen, she finds her trusty little pizza knife, grabs that. Victor comes down again, and he has a gun. I guess we knew that because he's shot Megan. Mm-hmm. And he shoots at Samantha, and it gets her in the shoulder. She's screaming and holding her shoulder with her back to him, and he's approaching her from behind, and as he gets close enough, she turns and whips with the knife and slices his throat and kills him.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
And at this moment, she starts getting flashes of the grandma's face in her mind. Like, clearly something is happening to her internally, where she's just going like, and she pulls up her nightgown and we see black veins spreading underneath where the pentagram was drawn on her stomach. So she's looking like she's in pain and like something is happening to her mind. And Mrs. Ullman now comes down and finds her dead son, Victor, and chases Samantha up another flight of stairs and catches her. And again, Samantha is now like writhing in pain. She keeps dipping in and out of these little spells of whatever is going on supernaturally inside of her. And so Mrs. Ullman says, yeah, it's happening now. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it. It's gonna work in spite of you, you little bitch.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And then she goes to the window and looks out, up at the moon and pulls a wig off, which I guess is what the hair in the tub was her styling this wig a specific way.
Or cutting her hair off? Does she have hair?
She doesn't really have hair. It's
maybe she cut all her hair
not
off.
Not the same color as the hair. She has like some like stringy blonde gray hair, but the hair in the tub was all black, which is what the wig is. I don't know. Just
yeah, she was styling that. She was styling that wig. Funny That's to, for sure what was
funny
happening.
To imagine her being like, well, the wig is nice, but it could be nicer.
It could be better. It's a special night.
And she's looking out at up at the moon and saying, you know, tell me what to do. Give me guidance. And Samantha gets a moment of lucidity and grabs the knife and stabs Mrs. Ullman in the spine. Gnarly place to stab someone.
Oh, like upper or lower spine?
It's like right mid, like mid back, mid spine, right in the middle, which I imagine would also be a really hard place to stab someone. Because your ribs are there, too. So you're just having to stab through bone. I know I'm touching my back right now to feel.
I'm trying to figure it out.
You'd have to stab so hard.
Well, Samantha is strong.
Yeah,
you can
tell. She's being freaking pushed to her limits right now. You'd have
adrenaline is thrumming.
Yeah, exactly. So Mrs. Ullman dies, and Samantha now runs outside screaming. She's far from anything, but she's just fucking running. And she runs into a cemetery, and Mr. Ullman catches up with her there somehow, even though he's been stabbed in the stomach and is losing immense amounts of blood, it seems. I guess she has been shot also. So they're probably neither of them are at peak physical stamina, running as fast as they can. So he tells her, it's your destiny to accept him. You can kill me. She, I think, now has the gun also. She took that off of Victor. And she's aiming the gun at him. And he says, you can kill me if you want. It's not going to change anything. You can't stop what's happening to you. And she's, again, clutching her stomach in pain, seeing more flashes of grandma in her mind. It's getting more frequent, more intense. Something is happening. And she looks at him and she raises the gun to her own head.
Oh.
And he says, no. And she shoots herself in the head.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that coming. I genuinely did not see that coming.
I didn't either. Even though I read the Wikipedia, I didn't remember. You're like,
you completely forgot. In one ear and out the other.
I didn't remember.
That's the thing about all Wikipedia articles is that you don't remember anything you've ever read from one of them.
Exactly.
I can almost guarantee it. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's dead. She's dead.
Cut to black. You'd think so. But also.
Seems dead.
Yeah. Okay. So we cut to black and come back up on that. On those newscasters once again saying scientists are baffled by the eclipse. The speed at which the eclipse ended is seemingly impossible. Nobody has ever seen like anything like this before. It ended much faster than it began, which has just never happened in the past. So the scientific community is reeling. And we go down a hospital corridor and into a hospital room and see Samantha with her head covered in bandages.
Oh, alive.
Alive, but non-responsive. And a nurse is tending to her and saying, you know, poor thing, you've been through so much, stroking her head. And she says, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And then puts her hand on her stomach and says, you and the baby. And that's the end of the movie.
What? What?
Yeah. So a real Rosemary's Baby influence for sure.
What? What the fuck? That was unexpected.
I don't know how she survived that shot to the head. It's truly through her brain. Like, it's not And it shows it. She holds it right to her temple, just above her ear, and shoots it. I don't think there's any coming back from a shot like that. But maybe there's some supernatural things at play.
It must be supernatural. Like there, something was already inside her body that was going to keep her alive.
Yeah.
Okay, so when the grandmother did the pentagram on her stomach, did she impregnate her? Like,
I think so.
What is going on? When she drank the goat's blood, was she impregnated?
Yeah.
When did it happen?
Definitely during that ritual sometime. Is it a pizza baby?
Is it pizza baby? It's half pizza?
My guess would be that it's the spawn of Satan. Or perhaps the grandmother reincarnated? But my money's on Satan. Spawn of Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy shit. So then we're supposed to believe that the nurse is in on it too?
No, the nurse is, her vibe is not sinister. I think she thinks she's just helping a woman, a pregnant woman
that
was shot in the head.
Oh my God. Little do they know that that baby's going to come out and it's going to be a literal baby devil.
Yep.
Well, they need to make a House of the Devil too, because like what happens?
I know. You know what I mean? We're getting an X sequel immediately. Where's our House of the Devil sequel?
All this does is raise questions. Does it answer anything?
It's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it is a fun way to end it. It was unexpected. I thought there was going to be, like, way more.
It's a tight little film. It's a 90 minutes. You absolutely love a 90-minute horror film.
Love it, love it, love it, love it.
And, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm excited to see more of Ty West's stuff. He also has a movie called The Innkeepers that we've had requested.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think he's great. And I enjoyed this a lot.
Oh, my God. Sammy, thank you so much. You're right that it was not too scary.
No.
The stuff with the kid was manageable because we didn't actually ever meet him. And I didn't have to use my imagination.
Yeah.
At all.
No, I think overall it's not too scary. It's a medium level one. There's a lot of dread, but it's kind of more fun than like a normal Conjuring level dread because it's so reminiscent of the 80s films.
It's like a nostalgic film almost. It's fun to watch just to see him try to make a movie that looks this way.
I recommend it, listeners, if you haven't seen it and you're brave or even moderately brave, give it a try.
Ooh,
shudder.com.
Scary. And remember, don't answer any anonymous calls for babysitting.
No,
just don't.
And also remember to check out that lunar eclipse on May 15th.
The blood moon.
And hail Satan, I guess.
Hail Satan. Hail Satan. Yeah, there weren't. Should we try to do the 1980s actress accent? I can't even think of what it sounds like. It's like, hi, Bobby. Are you going to the prom?
That's pretty good, Henley. Yeah, that sounds like every 80s. That is like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby. Why can I only think of exactly what you just said?
Because it's the only thing that they say. The lines are also aren't that dynamic in these movies either.
And they're all named Bobby. That's a fact.
They're all named Bobby.
Okay. Well, from all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch,
goodbye.
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 That was good.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right. We love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.